everyone. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, and happy palindrome week, everyone. And in honor of everyone's favorite This Way or That Way week, this week's fish fry can be listened to both forward and backward. I know. Pretty snazzy. And I understand if you play it backward, you'll hear a hidden message saying that Paul is dead, which is pretty weird. Anyway, this week, my EE compatriots were diving into the second part of my Smarter Power series with micromodules. What are micromodules? Why do you need them? And what does modern dance have to do with it? You'll learn about all of this and more. Please welcome longtime friend of EE Journal, Avshin Odabe from Linear Technology. Now, let's get down to some serious micromodule action. Hi, Avshin. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, we're here to talk about micromodules. Now, for my audience who may not know what they are, what are micromodules?
Micromodule products are a complete system on a substrate. So we add discrete components in addition to the IC, for example, DC-DC converters, or could be RS-232 ICs with the inductors, capacitors. We assemble those on a substrate and overmold them with a plastic. Complete solution is offered, and it looks like an IC in terms of the pick and place and usage.
Okay, so what kind of applications do you think are good for micromodules? I'm thinking maybe leading high-end applications, is that right?
That is correct statement. To answer your question, there are options. For example, I'm going to talk about power supply. That's where I'm involved with Micromodule Power Business Group. There can be a discrete solution, requires a lot of components, a lot of savviness and knowledge about how to lay out the board, how to compensate so the circuit does not oscillate, transient response, and a lot of intricacies. If the person knows it, discrete solution is the way to go, and it's cheaper. But if system boards are high-end and they use very high-end FPGAs and ASICs, a lot of the time is spent by design engineers on debugging the digital aspect of those boards.
Right.
And rarely there is enough time or willingness, for that matter, to mess with the power side of it.
Right.
So if these boards are high-end and the FPGAs are complex, transceivers, they got memory you got to worry about and getting the whole system to work, why not just leave that portion of the circuit to a module or a micromodule? The system is already completed. The solution is there, is qualified, is 100% tested over temperature, minus 40 room temperature and hot. And once the designer gets it, just assemble it on a board, just like a surface mount IC, and the solution is done.
So the applications,
sure.
Tell me about some specifics.
Application, absolutely. I can give you some application. For example, PCIe cards.
Okay.
Because of their size and the thickness or the height of the components, that has to be thin enough because they can mount a series of these next to one another on a datacom or a cloud-based system, a RAID system. The dependency on having very dense PCIe card is huge. Now, what if we could offer a micromodule that is has four outputs in a 9 by 15 millimeter package? That is tremendously small because we are using a die inside in order to assemble the whole solution. It's
right.
Not a package like a SO8 or a DFN or a QFN. It doesn't take as much. So we get rid of a lot of bond wires. We get rid of a lot of the stuff that a regular circuit board would need, maybe twice or 1.7 times the board space. So that's one prime example. Also, anything that requires high-end FPGA and ASICs, from avionics to defense to especially medical.
Oh,
medical
okay.
Needs not to have too many components. They want to have a low-noise power supplies. And we do have capability with the micromodule to include filters on board, make them specific to a specific application. So when we make an ultra low noise micromodule regulator, even from a high voltage operation, that device can be put next to a sensitive device to noise because we have already taken care of it.
Gotcha.
By putting it next to it, that means you're reducing the board space. That means you probably either can shrink your board or create enough room that you can add more memory so you make your own end device more capable. because it has more memory now, because they don't have to spend more space on another solution. With the micro module, that's what we are offering mostly to the benefits of end customer. The size of it, reliability of it, thickness of it's pretty thin, and the specifics that we can do to the part to make it specific for our application.
All right, Afshin, let's talk about advantages here of the micro modules versus another module solution, or heck, you know, you just discussed it earlier, discrete components.
Correct. Versus a discrete solution is very obvious. We provide much, much, much simpler design.
Yeah.
For a purchasing engineer or a design engineer, they call out a one part number versus 35 different components to
right.
make the solution.
Yeah.
That's obvious. Now we have other companies who do offer module power supply solutions, similar, not exact, to our solution. We have multiple advantages. One thing I want to touch on is the way we approached our design.
Okay.
We design our products based on a substrate design. It's not a lead frame based, as are most of our competitors, if not all of them, do. What substrate based design brings to us is we can do multi-layer. By multi-layer layout design, 2 or 4 or 6 layer, gives us a huge amount of opportunity to be creative with the layout.
Mm.
We can make multiple products pin compatible, although inside the guts of the micro module, maybe there's different kind of settings or the way we lay it out. But on the outside, to the end user, they're all pin compatible. So they can use one part in the future. If they change their mind, they can pop in the next one. It's pin compatible, more power or less current. So we have those advantages, and we're taking advantage of that to come up with very complex solutions.
Excellent. All right, Afshin, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, you told me that you really enjoy photography, and in particular, you like to photograph dance companies. Tell me more about that. That is super cool.
Well, this comes from several friends that I have in San Francisco, where they are involved with a lot of performance arts, especially on stage, dancers and choreographers that I work with, some of them very popular. And as a service, because money is tight for artists.
Yes, always.
Hungry artists is a true statement, and I have plenty of friends like that. So as a part of giving back to that community, I offer my services to multiple of them, and gets me very busy, especially during the weekends.
Yeah. Is there something particular about photographing dance that is harder, you think, than, say, your other passion, photographing nature?
Right. With a dance is you always have the human interpretation of what the photo should be of the person you're taking a photo, especially if it's a dancer. They're very critical of their lines in their bodies and the
right.
way they are. And
yeah.
that's very fascinating. The lighting is always a challenge, especially the speed of the dancer moving and being creative. So one photo is not just similar to the next one. So we challenge
right.
each other that way. And I get to know a lot of good people, very good people.
That's excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me,
Afshin. Thank you for your time. Thank you so much.
Now let's talk about your next IoT design. A lot of IoT designs require stuff like fancy user interfaces. But you can't live without that good old MCU, now can you? So, can you have your cake and design it too? Why, yes, I believe you can. And that is just the subject, minus the cake part, of my newest Chalk Talk entitled IMX 6 Solo X, Freescale's new heterogeneous multi-core applications processor. In this episode of Chalk Talk, I sit down with Amanda McGregor of Freescale to chat about a new applications processor that combines an ARM Cortex A9 core with the efficiency and real-time capability of the Cortex M4 MCU. And if you need any further encouragement to check out this episode of Chalk Talk, Amanda's got an Australian accent. I mean, what more can you ask for? Come on. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal, by checking out the homepage of eejournal.com, or by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can also subscribe to the EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, yes, I will see you at the Design Automation Conference next month, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 15th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.